It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study now in the book of Ruth, and we want to look today starting in verse 16. Well, if you'll remember, Ruth had gone down to the threshing floor. And as she was there, it shocked Boaz that she was there, and he wasn't expecting her. And it was dark, and he didn't know what was going on for a long time. Well, notice in verse 16 that it says, "And when she came to her mother-in-law," now, once again, this is after Ruth was on the threshing floor. She came to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. In other words, her mother-in-law knew who she was, of course, but she was asking, what happened? What took place? She was interested in what took place between Boaz and Ruth. We see here an interested mother-in-law, because her question is not one of doubt, but one of wonder, as she wondered as to what had happened. And Ruth tells Naomi everything that had taken place. Verse 17, "And she said, 'These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Well, of course, we're reading in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 17, and that's where that verse I just read. Well, there's a message involved here from Boaz. Boaz wanted Naomi to know that the work of a kinsman redeemer was not yet completed for Ruth. Now, if you go back to verse 15, you see the number 6 there. Well, that is the number of incompletion. It was not complete yet as to her being redeemed. This was a message to Naomi. We keep reading, and we understand as we look at this verse, verse 17, he said, "Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Well, this is another message. Go not empty. Well, this means there is hope. He gave Ruth something to take to her mother-in-law, and he says, "Take this. Don't go away with nothing. There is hope." Well, in verse 18, we see patiently waiting. Someone's patiently waiting here. The verse says, "Then said she, Sit still, my daughter." Well, this is Naomi, of course, talking to Ruth, and she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Well, Naomi said to Ruth, "Sit still, be patient," because she knew that the man Boaz had promised redemption. Well, you know something? We need to be patient with the Lord to save people. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we run ahead of the Lord. And of course, as human beings, we often find ourselves doing that, but we need to learn to be patient and not try to get in front of the Lord, but let Him lead us and let Him guide us into things that we are to do in this life for Him. Well, we go into chapter 4 now of the book of Ruth, and we see here that Boaz speaks of the kinsman, and of course the kinsman listens. If you remember, you go back and you read the account here that Boaz was a near kinsman, but there was one who was nearer than Boaz. So now we read in verse 1 of chapter 4 about this other kinsman. It says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by." And we see this is the one, he said, "There is one nearer than me." And this is the man he's speaking of. And it says, "Unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. We see here Boaz in the gate, and Boaz sat down in the gate, presenting himself publicly for all to see and hear. He was searching for the kinsman he had spoken of in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 12. And we keep on reading here, and we see that Boaz waits and finally sees the would-be kinsman as he came by. He wastes no time in getting the man's attention. He calls, "Ho, such a one!" Well, the man listened to Boaz, and what did he do? He sat down. You know, I see here Boaz either did not know the name of the kinsman, or it's not important. In other words, the name according to the Word of God here was not important because he's never named. We only know that he was a near kinsman. He was nearer than Boaz, but evidently his name was not important here. In verse 2 it says, "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city." This is Boaz now, as he said, "Sit down here to host such a one." And we see here 10 men, and we learn that host such a one was important. His name may not have been important, but he was important. And so was Boaz. Boaz was important. And the elders of the city in verse 2 did what Boaz asked. Name or no name, as this man hosts such a one, we look to him who had no name, and name or no name, all are important to God. Well, the Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, everyone's important to God, name or no name. But of course, he knows our names. He knew us before the foundation of the world. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, searches or looks for each individual to offer salvation, just as Boaz searched for the man with no name. Well, Jesus, of course, is our near kinsman. He is the one who redeemed us. And we'll see more about that later on. In cases of importance, such as matrimony, divorce, and conveyance of property, it was the Jewish practice in those days to have 10 witnesses. Now, if you'll read Deuteronomy chapter 6, 16 and verse 18, and also Exodus chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, you'll see this. And of course, this is why Boaz said, "Sit you here down." And he asked for 10 men to be witnesses. When verse 3, it says, "And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's." Well, this is the information provided we see here. He's providing this near kinsman information. Boaz tells the kinsman that Naomi would be selling a parcel of land that had belonged to their kinsman Elimelech. We're seeing here a businessman. We're seeing him, and this is Boaz, who sat down with another man, and they're conducting business. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 4, "And I thought to advertise thee." This is Boaz speaking. In other words, he said, "I thought I would tell you about this first." In other words, "Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he, this is host such a one, "And he said, I will redeem it." Well, host such a one said, "Okay, I'm going to redeem it, and I'm going to redeem this property right." Well, the right to redeem here, we see, is accepted by host such a one. And he, as we keep looking here, we want to know, what did he mean by saying before it's broadcast? What did Boaz mean before it's broadcast? He tells the kinsman he was there to advertise, or in other words, to let him know first about the sale of the property. Now, this could have been, as we think of it, like the auction block. He could have gone up, and I suppose, and placed it on the auction block, just as some people would take something to auction, or land to auction. It could have been sold to the highest bidder. Well, I don't know all of that, but I do know that these two men stood in line to be able to redeem this property. Well, now we see that host such a one says, "I will redeem." Well, here we see Boaz, the businessman. Now, he is a businessman. He was playing it cool, because Boaz told the kinsman the truth about the parcel of land, and it seems almost without thinking, the kinsman said, "Okay, I will redeem it." However, Boaz, the businessman, was not finished telling the kinsman everything concerning the redeeming and buying of the land. Because we read in verse 5, it says, "Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon and his inheritance." In other words, he's saying there's more to consider here than meets the eye. And Boaz goes on to say, he says, when you redeem the land, there are actually two people involved. Naomi is involved, of course, and there's also Ruth the Moabitess, whose husband, and of course we know this was Mahlon, course, he had died in Moab. And there were two people involved here. Boaz says Ruth is also part of the buying process. Why should Ruth be redeemed? Ruth needed to be redeemed to carry on the bloodline of Mahlon, and he was of the family, and so is she now. And there were no other heirs of Elimelech besides Naomi and Ruth. We read about this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 3, and verse 5, and verse 14. We see there that the men had died. Well, why should we be redeemed, you and I? There are several reasons. I'll mention only one here. You see, Christ needs sinners, and that's us, to be redeemed so that we can carry on the bloodline of Jesus. We need to lead others to Jesus, in other words. And John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons." In other words, that's the bloodline of Christ, the sons, even to them. The sons of whom? The sons of God, in other words, even to them that believe on his name. Well, that's the bloodline of Christ. And God wants us to lead people to him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We actually become heirs with our Savior when we trust him as our Savior. We become the sons of God. Not as Christ was. He's the only begotten Son of God. He is God. We become a child of God. Well, we many times start thinking, well, I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell now. I'm going to go to heaven. But you know that we're actually saved so that we can carry on the bloodline of Jesus to tell other people about the hope of Jesus Christ. That knowledge of knowing that once we receive him or that other person receives him, they're going to go to heaven. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. You see, and that's the bloodline, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Eternal life means never ending. And you know that as well as I do. Eternal means never ending. Well, we keep reading here in Ruth, and we go to verse 6, and this hosts such a one who Boaz is speaking to, and we see that he's willing, but he's unable to redeem this property, or he's unable to complete the transaction. Verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. We see here the right to redeem was not accepted. The kinsman now says he cannot redeem. This is hosts such a one, of course. The kinsman, in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1, as we read, he now realizes he not only would have to redeem Naomi, but he would also have to marry Ruth. Oh, such a one has now given Boaz the go-ahead to redeem. The door is wide open now. The 10 elders of the city had been witnesses to all that had transpired between Boaz and oh, such a one. In order for someone to be a redeemer, it is not only necessary for the person to be willing to redeem, but also to be able to redeem. And I thank the Lord today that Jesus was not only willing, he was able to redeem us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Thank God, those of us who have trusted him have been redeemed.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.